Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. On today's show, the first depth chart has officially been released. The Bills could be on the verge of adding another piece and one small adjustment for Mahomes this year. Special guests include Sky Moore at 11. Now two of the most fun, personal, get-to-know-you type radio hosts in the city, Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
Rare compliment in the intro.
Yeah, that's. I feel like yesterday there was a compliment as well. So that's 2 days in a row. Nick is trying to suck up now after what he pulled last week by not being our producer for multiple days. I think that's what's really going on.
Do you guys disagree?
No, I fully agree. As we're live in St. Joe, a busy day at Chiefs camp. One, it's a full padded practice, a beautiful day in St. Joe. Estimate around 5,000 or so they were expecting today, so a really good crowd on hand of Chiefs fans, and we're inside the St. Joe, Missouri Visitors Bureau tent. Experience history, go to stjomo.com. We will be joined by Chiefs rookie wide receiver Sky Moore as soon as practice wraps up. Expect that to be around the 11 o'clock hour, right at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour. It's about an hour from now here from camp. And a lot to get into with Sky Moore. Looking forward to having him join us as he's a player that I think everybody's excited about, not just this year, but potentially what he could become long-term. And definitely want to ask him about how we've seen the Chiefs utilize him at practice the last, four or five practices in particular.
Starting to get those handoffs.
Handoffs, utilizing him in the backfield, kind of the way they used Mecole Hardman late last year. So a lot to get into with Sky Moore coming up in an hour.
I think that he's obviously all rookies become, interesting players kind of by default immediately because you haven't seen them play and you're trying to figure out their role. But because Juju Smith-Schuster seems like the only dead single lock into where he ranks amongst the wide receivers, I'm interested in Sky Moore because I can't promise you that by the end of Week 17, he's not the second wide receiver. I'm not thinking that's the way it's going to go down.
Neither
right now,
I.
But you can't rule it out either. You can't put it at 0%.
I can't put it at zero.
His competition's not that strong. It's two guys whose best years are like 650 yards.
Yeah, I don't believe when the real depth chart comes out, which we'll get into the one that was put out last night, but the real depth chart comes out heading into week one, week two, I don't expect Sky Moore to be the number two wide receiver at that point. I would be very – you're right, I can't say zero, but I would put it less than 10% if nobody gets hurt in front of him, that he's that. But we'll talk with Sky on a little bit. Also, the text line already firing shots, 913-586-7610. The Jay Southland Toast Service text line saying, all right, Cody, let's get the Wasp update out of the way now so we don't have to hear about it all show.
Hand is still swollen.
Yeah, but it's way better. I can.
But it's less
swollen. Yeah, honestly, not much at all. I think you're good.
It's still swollen.
It is swollen.
You're gonna live now.
Yesterday we weren't sure if you're gonna make it. Today we are. So I think we've cleared a major hurdle for you going forward the rest of the week. But yeah, you're good to go. We're good to go. And look, the unofficial depth chart did come out last night. It's kind of fun to look at, but it's important to note it's unofficial. And this is something that the coaches don't even put together. Not in Kansas City, at least, when it comes to this one that the Chiefs put out. This is assembled by the PR staff. So,
are you suggesting the PR staff is ill-informed?
I'm suggesting they are not Andy Reid is what I'm putting out there. Yes.
Do you think Andy Reid ever makes depth charts?
No, because he doesn't have to until like a certain point of the season. So until that point, I imagine he waits until they force him to.
They should just mess with the depth chart. They should just put Chad Henne as a starting quarterback. They should just completely make
the
whole
thing.
Well,
they don't want to look
stupid. They should just make the whole
thing
a
joke. That's sort of disrespectful to Chad Henne. Like, isn't it so funny?
Well, isn't it so funny that he would be the number one quarterback?
When Patrick Mahomes is on the roster, yes, it would be.
He didn't say DiCaprio Boodle. He's not actually offending a guy who has a chance to make the team. He's offending Chad Henne. It's
fine. But with that said, it is something to, like, we've talked about at the running back spot is, like, who's the number two running back? In this unofficial depth chart, Jerick McKinnon's listed as the number two running back. Third string running backs, Ronald Jones, Derek Gore, and then Pacheco's listed all the way back as the fourth string running back, which is what we would have thought on the back end heading into camp, but we know the conversation around Pacheco has changed a little bit. And Ronald Jones, Jerick McKinnon, I think Jerick McKinnon as the number two back, based on what's happened at camp, actually is not all that crazy.
I think that's maybe projecting. I think the PR staff's doing the same thing we are, thinking that Ronald Jones might not make this team. That's what it is. They're just being like, they're telling you they are thinking the same thing we are. There's a chance Ronald Jones won't make this team. That's really the only thing to take away. And the only other thing is that they only put one rookie in the starting group. Because George Karloftis, yeah, not the starter, as we'd said. You know, it's to me, it's probably how a majority of us would view it in this exact moment from a positional group. But I also think that this is, like, Jerick McKinnon being the number two back still poses one big question for me. Who is the guy you actually trust in pass protection? Just real quick. Because it's not McKinnon, it's not a rookie in Pacheco, and it hasn't really been Clyde in the time he's been here. Do we really think the Chiefs are going to go into an entire NFL season without a guy they trust?
Well, that's
protecting
how
the quarterback at the running back position. I still contend that McKinnon is just as big of a risk, or Pacheco is just as big of a risk of losing his job as Ronald Jones. I think the preseason might actually determine this.
No, Saturday's big. I mean, Saturday is. I know, it's a preseason game, but for the running back group, it is actually a big game because there are a lot of questions outside of who the number one back is. We already know who that is. That's going to be Clyde heading into the season. But who's the two, the three, and the four? Derek Gore's not completely out of the mix. We've all assumed he is, but he's still in the mix for a guy that could surprise people still as far as the final running back spot. That's not who I would put my money on to get the final running back spot, but he's not out of it yet. It's not like
we've
talked up Pacheco, everybody has, but again, we haven't seen the guy play a single snap, even a preseason game yet. We have seen Derek Gore last year in a preseason game, so that's just something.
And in several regular season games in which he was effective.
Yeah, true.
I mean, but the fact that they're already talking to Pacheco and not Gore probably tells you one thing. And to me, some of this is just a sheer numbers game. Like, when I look at the depth chart, the thing I am paying attention to constantly is, okay, it's a numbers game, and how many wide receivers versus running backs versus tight ends are they going to keep? If Nick's guy, Jody Fortson, is definitively on the team, they've got him listed as the fourth tight end right now.
Jody Fortson's still not practicing, by the way.
That's why he's listed as the fourth tight end.
Well, that's what he would be listed at anyway.
Then is Blake Bell really going to keep his job? Are they really going to go four tight ends for the second year? You realize that was only the second time ever that Andy had kept four tight ends, so that was uncommon in its own right. Are they going to keep six or seven wide receivers? Are they going to keep three or four running backs? One of these position groups is going to be a man short. Running back seems like the obvious choice because at this point, if I were Kansas City, I don't think I'd be real interested in reducing my wide receiver talent pool because I don't want to take a chance that I cut the wrong guy at receiver, and I get it. Normally, when you're talking about that far down in the roster, that's not something that happens very often where you cut the seventh-round pick and then he goes to some other team and he ends up being good. But when you have a lot of unknown in your receiver crew and what they'll do for you, I don't know that I'd be in the – I don't think I'd want to move on from that. Running back, whatever. Because half of these guys would probably still be available. Or some other running back. You know how many running backs are available all the time? It's just like constantly. They're just always available. Ronald Jones was just available this offseason for like $1 million guaranteed.
I'll go back to a couple years ago when Carlos Hyde didn't do anything in preseason for the Chiefs. They traded him to the Texans. He ended up like having 1,000 yards for the Texans that year. So you just don't you just don't know, and that's also why I don't think it's impossible.
That's kind of wild. He had 1,000 yards.
I think it was like 950 or something to get for the Texans.
I was trying to remember the offensive tackle. It was Martinez Rankin.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
Who was hurt.
Thinking of offensive linemen in this unofficial depth chart, as expected, Andrew Wiley listed as the number one right tackle, which is where he's been working. Yesterday he was splitting, though, some of the time at right tackle with Christian out there. But Andrew Wiley consistently, for the most part, has been the starting right tackle here at training camp. Also, really good news today. We were wondering when it would happen. Rashad Fenton off the PUP list. So he's practicing today. So really good news. First time out here with the guys since we've been up in St. Joe. Obviously, was one of their better corners last year. Was surprisingly, wasn't expected to be that way as the season began, but really had a very nice 2021 season. And in a group that has a young secondary, no Ward anymore, nice to know that Fenton, barring a setback, now you feel good about him being ready for week one. Before, you know, they said he'd be ready at the beginning of training camp. That, of course, was not the case. Now you fast forward. It's still early enough, though, here on August the 9th that
but
comes
exactly
September 11th.
At training camp. No, there's only like a week and a half left.
There's still 31 days or whatever it is till kickoff for week one.
There's plenty of time for him to be ready by week one still. It is pretty important for the Chiefs that he is, because otherwise, not only are you counting on your first-round pick, Trent McDuffie, but you're counting on some combination of your fourth and seventh round picks at corners.
Yeah, Williams or Watson.
They threw a bunch of numbers at it for this reason. This is, I think, the Fenton injury, because we found that out, what, a week after the draft, which means the Chiefs definitely knew about it.
Yeah, because he had shoulder surgery.
Yeah, they knew. They knew that Fenton could not, you know, possibly not be ready. And he's also in the final year of his deal. So, again, they're right back to square one where they have to constantly find these things. So they're either going to give Snead an extension, or they're going to give Fenton an extension, or they got to find a bunch of other young corners who are actually good enough to play them. Fenton back is good. Like, he found a nice – this is a lot like when we talk about, like, wide receiver roles. Fenton found a nice little spot where he couldn't screw stuff up. It was perfect for him last year. I don't know that I ever saw, wow, number one corner, but Fenton was reliable. You put him in, he didn't screw stuff up, which gives us what we want, the ability for L'Jarius Snead to move around. Because he's their best corner, and it's not particularly close anymore, unless Trent McDuffie's going to step up there. Because before, you could say that Ward might have been their best corner, or at the very least, their most consistent. I think Snead was their best corner last year, but Ward didn't screw anything up. That's important in a cornerback group.
We mentioned Sky Moore is going to join us exclusively here on 610 Sports Radio from the practice field as soon as practice wraps up. That should be right around 11 o'clock or so. That means Nick's got some camp questions around Sky Moore.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Nick.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going out there?
It's going great. Have you ate any food yet in the studio?
No, I ate this morning in the bullpen.
Gold did already have a hamburger today, so yeah. He said.
Our friends at Hy-Vee, thank you.
Not a sponsor of this segment.
They're Chiefs partner, therefore
we're gonna
some
have
of our partner.
We're going to have to dump that, so let's just go ahead and get into it.
Okay.
Question number one. Give me one word to describe Sky Moore's role in the Chiefs' offense this season.
Multifaceted.
That's a hyphenated word.
What? You said one word.
That's cheating. Bad start.
Multifaceted.
Why? That was a good word. I feel
all right,
like
I got one, Nick, because I can follow direction. Versatile. How about that?
Oh,
that's what. There we go.
It's that's over. How you get it done.
That's a win for the first question. I don't even need to go anymore. Versatile. I think he really will be a versatile
player. That's
the
worst version of the word I gave, essentially.
What? It's yours wasn't one word, though.
Yes, it is. Multifaceted is one word.
But Nick doesn't like it.
That's not my fault. It's one word. He said one word.
Play to your crowd.
Versatile. Look, we just got done mentioning what we want to hear from Sky when he joins us, which is, hey, you're lining up in the backfield a little bit. Of course, you're lining up in the slot. We all know about that. That's what he played at Western Michigan and what everybody's excited about. You know, can he also potentially be a punt returner for them? He's number two on the depth chart for that. So versatile. A lot of different ways they can utilize him.
I think that it'll kind of grow over the season goes. I think with him, a lot of what's going to happen is some of those rookie field stuff. They'll get him in. They'll manufacture some touches similar as they've done every year for Tyreek Hill when he was a rookie, or Mecole Hardman when he was a rookie. That's where those things out of the backfield come in there, the punt returns, etc. Although he struggled a little bit there. I'm not 100% sure that punt return job is his.
Yeah.
But I think as the season goes on, just as long as he proves himself as a wide receiver, he'll get more and more looks, and they'll start, you know, mixing it up more versus relying on a couple of those guys like Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce early on.
Taxline said we could have used hybrid.
You know, another word that you could use that football coaches love using is multiple. Coach, it's a big football coach word. It's just like, we like to be multiple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Camp questions. Question number two. What is Sky Moore's ceiling in terms of production as a rookie?
I think it's 850 yards. There were only six rookie wide receivers last year who finished with more than 900 yards, and that was a pretty good class. Even going back to the class that just got paid with DK Metcalf and Deontay Johnson that Mecole Hardman was a part of, really there were only seven guys during that class that got more than 900 yards. So if I think that Sky Moore is going to do that, and what is still a crowded offense with a lot of other options that aren't him, I think that it would take maybe an injury or just him being a much better player than a lot of the other rookie wide receivers. And if only a handful of guys are going to get to that number, I think the max is like 850, 900 yards.
I would love to make a pun and tell you the sky's the limit for him this year, but I don't think it's that high right away for Sky Moore. I'll go 725 yards. To me, receiving is the max I could see Sky Moore having. And, yeah, unless Juju and Travis Kelce, like you were saying, both end up with an injury or something, that's a whole different conversation when you get down to where suddenly he's your number one or number two wide receiver. That won't be the case if those guys are healthy. So, yeah, I'll go 725 max yardage, which, by the way, would be a really, really strong rookie season for Sky Moore.
Yeah, that would be more than even Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, both of those guys. Yeah. Less than 600 yards in their first year with the Chiefs.
Game questions.
All right, your third and final question of the day. How much will Sky Moore's season impact what the Chiefs should do with Juju and Mecole next offseason?
I'll give you one word again. Significantly. It will impact it significantly because if Sky Moore looks to be a number one wide receiver, what have they done with paying them to this point? They haven't. They've let plenty of wide receivers walk during this time. If they feel like they've got a number one, then they can be more judicious with where they spend their money. I don't think that means both guys would necessarily go, because MVS is going to have a say in how they handle those two players as well. No matter what, I think they're probably spending another draft pick a wide receiver next year. But if he shows out really well, I think it'll impact their decision on both of those guys.
Minimal. Okay. Minimal is what
it's
it'll be, because I believe it's minimal because to me they still are going to need to go and draft a wide receiver fairly high next year. They got to make a decision still on Juju Smith-Schuster, and if it's not Juju, then they still to me have to go find that number one wide receiver. Even if Sky Moore reaches the yardage amount you said, Cody, over 800 yards, I still don't think I want to go in next year thinking he's going to carry my offense. No, I don't believe.
No,
that
but I could just be by Juju and then draft another one. I've got your replacement, Juju. I'm going to find another one. I'll find another Sky Moore.
Whether Sky Moore is an 800-yard receiver or a 600-yard receiver, I still think they need to go be aggressive in either in the first round with the draft at wide receiver, or need to go and sign Juju if he has a big year extension, or go find the other big-time wide receiver as well. I don't think Sky Moore, even if he has a huge rookie season, should not have you go and be aggressive in free agency or the draft at the wide receiver spot.
Camp questions. Man, that was a tight race today. Both you guys gave exact opposite answers on the final question, but I revert back to the answers given on the first question. Cody used a hyphenated two-word answer when I specifically asked for a one-word answer. Therefore, Alex back on the board. Big bounce-back win for Alex today.
A hyphenated word is one
there
word.
That's your opinion.
6-1.
No, that's the English language's opinion.
6-1. 6-1.
I'm an English major, Cody, okay? So I'm not an expert on many things. You might be right, but
I think he is right, technically.
Based on your description of your college time, I'm not sure you're an expert.
Ooh, excuse me?
Wow.
I'll go ahead and jot that one down for tomorrow.
Nick, you got...
You can't punish me for being mad about the loss today.
Nick, you have your actual diploma, correct?
It might be in like my parents' closet or something.
Oh, but you received one.
You received
one.
A diploma.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well then, there
I graduated.
You go, Cody.
Yeah.
He's good to go. He's good to go.
Just a shy under a decade. Proud of you, Nick.
No, it was well short of a decade. Thank you very much.
Text line says multifaceted is not hyphenated, Nick.
Oh, all right,
wow.
Well.
Wow.
Whatever.
Would you like to reverse
your decision? Whatever, nerds.
So wait. It's not hyphenated. It is a single word.
Wow.
This is
you were easily
the results are in question. That's
No, they're not. The decision is final. Alex wins, Cody loses. End of discussion.
On the spot, came up with a good word.
Text line's defending you, Cody. This has not happened.
Thank you,
very
text
often.
Line. Thanks for having my back.
Someone says, my English major.
Well, I majored in many things in college. I did English. I did medicine, law.
Recreation, old things.
Yeah. Like a lot of experimentation.
Ayahuasca.
No, stop it.
No?
That's part of the study abroad trip.
Yeah, yeah. It's different.
They didn't offer, they didn't offer that at KU at the time.
The NFL came out just to say that, you know, he's good. Rodgers is fine.
Yeah, they don't care.
We're fine with the high-risk.
They don't really care about that stuff anymore.
So they had to give a ruling on whether or not he violated the drug policy.
Well, I think because he was admitted, so brazen to be like, I'm not getting in trouble by the NFL. I think the NFL at that point is like, should we say something? Should we confirm that for everybody? Versus just let Aaron Rodgers be the word on this?
Wasn't it last year when the NFL came out and said that they were no longer going to be testing for marijuana?
Yeah. I think that they just cut back on a lot. I think it's mostly just down to PEDs. I'm not even sure that they're testing for... Because it's
as it should be.
Well, I mean, testing for, like, and of course, if you're Josh Gordon, like a member of the Chiefs, you're like, really? But a decade too late, but thanks, fellas. How many seasons did he miss total? 3 or 4?
Yeah,
who sounds about right. I don't know the exact number, but yeah, it sounds about right.
Who was the running back that got pulled over with pot and had to miss, like, is that LeGarrette Blount, or am I just thinking that because of his name?
Because of his last name.
I thought it was a Steelers running back that got pulled over and ended up getting suspended for like half a season just for having pot.
I don't remember.
Oh, I think you're right, Nick.
If you're any of those guys, and then you hear that Aaron Rodgers did a 2.5-hour podcast talking about just tripping out in the Amazon every offseason, it's got to be a little frustrating, right?
You know what, funny enough? It was LeGarrette Blount.
Boom.
Of course it was.
I thought maybe you were just saying that because his last name
was
Blount.
That's what he said.
No,
yeah.
It was LeGarrette Blount. You were correct.
So, nailed it.
While you were wrong about multifaceted, you were right about LeGarrette Blount. So I guess it's a net wash for you.
Well, today. We're not really keeping score of me today. This is camp questions.
Yeah, someone on the text line brings it up. Ricky Williams, of course, quit football because he loved marijuana, and then now he's made – you know, more in 2 years with his marijuana company and all this dispensary stuff he's doing than he did in the NFL, which is pretty wild. Like, he got out in front of it very early. Like he was one of the very first people that were out there kind of starting up in that business, and obviously it's paid off very well for one Ricky Williams. Although, didn't he change his name? It's not Ricky Williams anymore, correct? He changed the name.
Yeah.
It's his middle name or something. I thought we did that for Trash of the Day a couple months ago. What's his new name?
And he took his wife's last name, right?
Anyway.
Eric.
Yeah, with Eric, like 2 K's or something.
Oh, just Eric Williams?
D-R-S.
It's something weirder. What is it?
Eric Mirin. M-I-R-O-N. That's his wife's last
Someone
name.
Someone says Bam Morris as well. Well, if you want to go way back, yes, Bam
He
Morris.
Also had quite a bit more than just
other legal
some
problems.
Pot on him.
He had some other...
That would be...
Bam Morris had some other legal problems. I'll never forget. I went to the Marcus Allen and Donnie Edwards coaches show, and Bam Morris was the guest. Around the holiday time, Bam Morris wore this bright green sweater. That's my Bam Morris memories that I have.
Did you go to this?
Wait, was that the end of the story, or did something incredible happen?
Did he, like, jump through a table?
Yeah, that was
offer you some pot in the parking lot?
No, like, but that's my Bam Morris. He was obviously had some good numbers, and then the one time I went to the Marcus Allen or Donnie Edwards coaches show that KCTV5 used to do back when players were doing coaches shows, players were doing players shows, and the coaches were allowing them. That was Bam Morris was the guest that week.
Who's your dream player show duo from this squad?
Ooh. Kelsey has to be involved. Has to be involved. Kelsey and Chris Jones. I mean, that's an easy one. Yeah.
I know. Is it that? But, like, I don't know. Could they? I don't know that I want both of those guys. I feel like I want
Why?
A straight man to play off of Kelsey or to play off of Chris Jones.
I'm not going
to
say
I want someone to be
I'm
uncomfortable
say,
with
I'm not
going to
say Mahomes.
Harrison Butker.
No, I don't think that's my choice.
James Winchester.
Tommy Townsend was really good on the show the other day. Maybe we should ask him.
James Winchester.
Dude, I would listen to that.
Which one? James Winchester and Chris Jones?
No, Winchester and Butker.
And Butker.
Yeah.
Two specialists working together. That might be the one player show Andy Reid allows.
It would just be a unique perspective, don't you think?
I mean, I think so, but also they don't do anything else on the field, so I'm not totally sure that I want.
You don't
think
that they
5%
serve
of the what is it like 5% of the snaps?
Yeah, I mean, how much do they know about the offense or the defense, though?
Okay.
I mean, their meetings are like 4 people.
Okay, Harrison Butker's the best kicker in the NFL, though.
No, he's not.
Well,
that's
just one of
Justin
them.
Tucker, who just got paid yesterday.
Well, he's up
he's
there.
He's both monetarily and.
But it's subjective. It's subjective.
He's a top 5 kicker. Yes.
He's one of
probably
the
a top
kickers.
3.
And name one long snapper. Better than James Winchester.
I can't name you another long snapper in general in football.
Ever.
What's that
honestly,
tell you?
Ever.
What's that tell you,
Gold? Another long snapper
What's
ever.
That tell me?
What was the name of the guy who was doing those, like, trick shots? That long snapper.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the quarterback, Alex Taney, the trick shot QB.
Hey, okay, why can't centers just double as long snappers?
Yeah, what do you mean, why can't Creed be the long snapper as well? We should have asked him that question.
Like, is he not?
Why can't you do both, man? You could save them a roster spot. Why can't you do both?
Same thing with kickers and punters. We're
over here debating whether Pacheco, Ronald Jones, and Derek Gore can all make the team. It's about time Creed Humphrey long snaps as well.
They could all make the team if Creed Humphrey just long snaps.
That's what I'm saying. I love how we're just trying to kick somebody off the team. But yeah.
Literally anyone. Justin Reed just missed a 45-yard kick.
It's called efficiency. It's efficiency, man. The kicker should be punting as well.
I do love how we have a safety in a pinch, in worst-case disaster scenario, Super Bowl, and somehow there's an injury. We have a safety in Justin Reed that could make you a game-winning 45-yard field goal if needed.
Well, he missed that one, but he did make a 60-yarder off the tee yesterday.
Better than most team situations. Do other teams have a backup safety that can kick 65-yarders right at halftime?
Probably not.
I don't think so,
I assume they don't.
I don't think so. That was part of the negotiations. Why do you think they signed him? Well, that added benefit more than anything else. Tyrann Mathieu wasn't kicking field goals for this team.
You think that's what it came down to?
Yeah, they said, well, you know, like, what?
Hey, Tyrann, are you willing to kick?
Can't kick?
He's like, no, I'm not willing to kick.
Well, then we're not willing to sign you.
That would be the most ridiculous reason ever to have walked to Tyrann.
Are you guys serious?
You'd be like,
No, that's what Mathieu's sitting across the table from Veach saying.
Are you guys serious?
Like, yeah, really?
Wait, is this a serious comment? We're like, yes, it's a serious comment. Are you willing to learn to kick? He's like, no, I'm not going to kick. Well, kiss this team goodbye. We'll see you later, Tyrann. Sorry you can't. Or he offers to do it, Nick, but then they're still disappointed in his effort. He's like, I mean, I guess I'll go out there and try. And he misses 7 of 8 kicks, and they're like, this just isn't going to work for us. We really appreciate your time at safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, but we're going to walk.
Coming up next, we'll continue our coverage live here in St. Joe as Chiefs practice continues, a full padded practice today at Mo West. Up next, though, there was a national columnist that interviewed Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, last year it was all about the 8 men in coverage and the issues it was causing Patrick Mahomes. Hear what Patrick Mahomes had to say to Kevin Clark about what he's adjusted with his throwing motion and technique heading into this season.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here at Chiefs Camp in St. Joe, inside the St. Joe, Missouri Visitors Bureau tent. Experience history, go to stjomo.com. Practice still going on here, the only show in Kansas City broadcasting right next to the practice field, and we'll be joined exclusively by Sky Moore as soon as practice wraps up. The rookie wide receiver just caught a touchdown pass about a minute or so ago from backup quarterback Chad Henne. So Sky is going to join us.
Chad Henne wide receiver connection is an important one.
It is.
Once
you never know. You never know what you never know if you need a drive or too late. Maybe a fourth down
one
conversion.
Fourth down conversion.
Will you guys ask him like about what that connection's been like?
Yeah, we'll lead with that, Nick.
How his chemistry like, is with Chad Henne? Yeah.
Look, Sky, everybody knows about your connection with Mahomes, but really people want to know what about your connection with Chad Henne? He'll be like, you serious?
Could be a good way to go viral, guys. We get a great soundbite about Chad Henne, then people start talking. You know, some of the national networks start picking it up.
That's exactly what Pro Football Talk is looking to pick up, man. Sky Moore's thoughts on Chad Henne. You know, that's anyway. So Sky Moore's going
to
join us.
What did Chad Henne do to deserve this?
No, I'm a big Chad Henne.
Multiple times.
I recall actually a year or so ago we were having a conversation, and Nick and I both said Chad Henne could play as long as he wants in Kansas City, and you said you wanted. I can't remember who the player was. You wanted them to stick with Shane Buchel and get younger at the backup. And Nick and I actually said Chad Henne now can stay as the backup as long as he wants after what he did.
Yeah,
in that
it was because
game.
Of one Shane Buchel. In the fourth quarter of a preseason game, he ripped off one scramble for 16 yards, and the Chiefs scored a touchdown on the drive, and you were all in on Shane Buchel.
That's what it was.
I just said, what's the point? Like,
exactly.
They're barely going to play anyway.
Let Chad Henne, he's comfortable here. Mahomes is comfortable with him. You know what Chad Henne can do in a pinch? We don't know what Buchel does in that moment. On that fourth down, does Buchel throw it in the...
He was wide open. I assume Buchel could hit him.
You assume. We know, though.
I'm not so sure
about Chad Henne.
I've watched enough of the other quarterbacks practice. I'm not confident Crum could hit him, but I'm pretty sure that Buchel
could
hit that out.
What's the Crum slander about?
He hasn't looked good.
For no reason. No reason.
He struggled.
So Sky Moore will join us after practice right here on 610 Sports Radio. I remember in the middle of last season, not only was it all about how the Bills and other defenses were playing Kansas City and 8 men in coverage, but also Dan Orlovsky at ESPN made a comment that he thought Mahomes, a lot of the issues he was having, he couldn't really fix until the offseason. He mentioned mechanics, footwork, all those type of things. And some people took it in such a negative way, but he said, no, there's some things that you really need a full offseason to work on. Kevin Clark over at The Ringer had a chance last week to be up here in St. Joe and talked one-on-one with Mahomes, and Mahomes mentioned to him mechanically some of the things he's been working on. So, there clearly was something that Mahomes, in his own words, needed to fix and maybe can help him when teams are dropping back more in coverage.
Well, directly related to that. That's what it is. It's not that he had poor mechanics all the time.
Yeah.
Every quarterback will tell you that's something like they'll repeat, repeat, repeat. They could always do something different about their mechanics and make it look maybe my feet need to be further apart. But everything he was describing was, I need these things to be more short field accurate so that I can get rid of the ball quickly so that they can't send 8 guys back in coverage all the time. That's why he points out during the playoff games, he started to improve some of those things. And I think that Orlovsky's wrong in a little bit of the ways where Mahomes started to show some of those things as an available change to him that he was actually showing improvement with. But all of it is like the things you would expect. Like, it sounds like Little League baseball stuff, but like his elbow placement, keeping his arm slot higher, holding the ball higher so that he can get rid of it faster. And I don't think that it's an accident that he's discussing these things with Kevin Clark and that this was a huge part of his offseason plan, because that's how he gets back to doing the things he wants to do. If he wants to complete deep passes, he finished 7th in the league last year in deep passes. That's a pretty low percentage number for him. He has, over the course of his career, finished 1st or 2nd all of the previous years. So obviously some of that is just teams are designing to do it, but you can't threaten them to come back into the field. This is how Tom Brady has operated the last 10 years of his career. You might ask yourself how Tom Brady ever completes any short pass. Well, that's because he can still hit the deep one. They have to be able to respect both. Last year's challenge was about respecting both. And I think that those mechanical changes, if he can just make those adjustments when they are going to throw the ball short, then almost everything is solved. Because this goes, and this is what I think is interesting about this, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Kevin Clark, it's essentially admitting the thing that we were trying to say. It's not like Mahomes doesn't know how cover two works. That wasn't the problem. He wasn't confused like, oh, God, what do I do?
Nobody
Why
actually,
are there defenders back there?
Nobody actually believed that.
Some of this was a physical ability.
That was a bunch of crap that some of the national talking heads on the debate shows were throwing out there, and everybody's trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Nobody actually thinks that Mahomes wasn't smart enough to understand coverages. That was a bunch of crap.
I think, and that's what it is. It's just, it's an inflated stat where we try to pretend like Mahomes somehow didn't have a good year last year, and it's just not accurate. Like, that's what it all comes back to. Here's, you want a quick stat to support that? In that same article, Mahomes had his worst statistical season, still had a higher quarterback rating than any during Tom Brady's career, his interception percentage at 2%. If he just did that for the rest of his career, he would have the ninth best percentage in history. That's a bad year. A bad year for Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback rating Tom Brady would have ever put up, and the ninth lowest interception percentage ever. So no, I'm not worried about his ability to cover two. It's those little things you still see from, I would say, semi-young quarterbacks. Mahomes is getting ready to hit his prime, and this is where Drew Brees eventually hit it when he got to New Orleans. This is what Tom Brady hit during his heyday in New England. Weirdly enough, we all think about like your ability to hit deep passes and go deep as being important, but your ability to just never screw up the little stuff,
oh boy, Chad
matters
Henney,
a lot.
Are you worried? Chad Henne just threw an interception. Are you concerned?
Jay Bouchel's time now.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned with that, man? Trying to throw it to Sky Moore. Double coverage.
I like that he's trying to throw it to Sky Moore. They're working in that chemistry some more. more to talk about with Sky Moore.
Double coverage. See, you were just talking about taking what the defense gives you.
Maybe Chad Henne's still shaken by the fact that one of his own players decided to actually sack him at practice. Not supposed to happen, by the way. Carlos Dunlap literally sacked Chad Henne in the red zone. For those that have never been to a practice before, especially in camp, you're not supposed to tackle
the
quarterback, no matter who the quarterback is. Thank goodness it was Chad Henne and not Patrick
Listen,
Mahomes.
If Carlos Dunlap wants to sack the backup quarterback, I think we let him.
Are we sure that it's not contractually obligated that
this team
to give
needs
that up and
pass
he's
rush
to sack
help? Yeah.
Practice?
I mean, because it did happen. Chad Henne got sacked, like legit sacked, by Carlos Dunlap in practice today. Whoops.
I'm fine with it. I'm going to be honest. For Mahomes, maybe not, but that's like saying that's like the if my aunt was my uncle. If it's Mahomes getting sacked, I've got a problem with it. With Chad Henne, I'm fine.
I mean, I still don't want Chad Henne getting hurt because
well,
just got
Shane
done.
Bouchel.
We just got done saying that. I do think he's
or whatever
he's a
Crumb's first
good
name is. I don't know his first
Dude,
name.
You're
sounds
so
like
disrespectful.
Do you know what
his,
do you know
family,
his first name
might,
is?
His family might be up
do you
here.
Know what his first
I'm
going to
guess
is?
It's Daniel. Seems like a Daniel, but I have no idea.
Seems like a Daniel? It's Dustin.
Close.
Nick didn't even guess. He didn't know the answer either.
I was going to say Denny, but I know that's
we
an
all
old
are
coach.
Going with the D of the first name, first
who's
letter.
Denny Crum? He's like an old basketball coach or something?
I don't know. Should I know that?
Denny Crum was a basketball coach at Louisville.
Well, you know what?
Two titles.
We should really admit to ourselves that we are not the show for sports trivia. Every time we bring
way,
up.
By the way, perfect.
We
way,
would be horrible.
Perfectly
Denny Crum
fine
was a two-time
me.
National That's champion.
Nice. Just, yeah,
who,
said,
who, I know.
Yeah.
I was agreeing with you. Oh. Who coached for 40 years, and you're like, is Denny Crum a person? I'm like, never heard of him. So it's not a great sign for us.
I'm totally fine, by the way, with not being the sports trivia show. That is totally fine
what
with me.
What show are we?
We're having a great time off the rails sometimes. Pull back the curtain consistently. There's no curtain anymore. The windows are wide open all the time on this show, I feel like. We don't have to pull back the curtain anymore.
I guess we should make that a random question of the day today. We should make everybody try to describe this show in five words or less.
You can use multifaceted if you would like. It only counts
as
one word.
Because it is one word. It's not what it counts as. It is one word.
That's what we determined in our first segment of the show. A lot of debate on
that. We're not the English language show. We've learned that.
Correct.
Between gum bucket and your inability to know multifaceted is one word, we're not off to a strong start.
Those are not the same thing. Okay? So let's just get that straight.
I'm just saying that's two failures of the English language. I'm lumping them in together.
No, they're not in. No, they're not even in the same stratospheres one another.
It's a fair point.
You said a disgusting sexual
no, I tried.
Slang word.
I tried to
times.
Say
bucket.
The other things I was trying to say.
Don't even
something
do it.
Not
yeah,
sexual.
We know.
I'm not gonna because now I'm already kind of laughing, which is how I got in this problem in the first place.
I feel like you're on the verge. I feel like if we just push you a little harder, you might actually do it.
Nope. I have to learn. If you can't learn and grow as a person, then what are we doing here?
Well, we'll get to Nick's notable notes here in about 5 minutes or so, and then hopefully in the next 15 or 20, practice will wrap up and we'll be joined by Sky Moore. Every year, though, the NFL has a new emphasis when it comes to rules. The one that they're going to emphasize this season seems like it's going to annoy all of us. And it has to do with the old illegal illegal contact.
Again, not the English language, you know,
Yes, it helps if we can speak properly. Illegal contact is going to be a new emphasis this year. I told you this last year with any time there's an emphasis. I don't freak out too much because I'm convinced that they do this for the first 3 or 4 weeks. There's backlash slash players and teams adjust. And then we don't really talk about it the rest of the year.
But the first, would you like to go through the Chiefs 4 or 5 weeks and discuss their current cornerbacking strategy?
Yeah, but do you disagree? Do you disagree at all with the idea that's how it usually goes?
No, but that doesn't mean it's not a problem. It is a problem because the Kansas City Chiefs schedule is incredibly difficult for the first 5 weeks, in which they play multiple very difficult guard wide receivers, and they might be the most physical cornerback group in the entire NFL. So this emphasis would hurt them the most during the worst part of their schedule.
No, they had the toughest schedule
for
the whole schedule's tough.
Fine, it doesn't really matter which particular part of the schedule. If they're only going to emphasize it for the first half of the season, that stinks for the Chiefs. And nobody wants it. How can the NFL, billion-dollar industry, obviously super profitable, how can they every year continue to do this same stupid thing? We don't care about more flags, NFL. It doesn't mean anything to us. We prefer that you call less of them for every penalty all the time. So if you don't mind, don't find a different penalty you didn't call enough last year and decide, let's just call more of those because no fan cares about this. This is what I don't understand with the NFL. Is this a coaches committee thing and they've got some issue with the way it does?
My understanding is Mike Tomlin's on the rules committee, right?
Why does he care? He just, I want it to be a clean game. That actually kind of sounds like Mike Tomlin, in fairness. He does kind of feel like
so, again, just to fill everybody in, what is it again? So, defensive players, you can't have contact for more than 5 yards off the line of scrimmage while the quarterback's in the pocket and obviously has the ball in his hand still at that point in time. We see it all the time. It's annoying even before the rules emphasis. I just think you're right on the young cornerback group that they have that could be more difficult for them to adjust than other teams, and they are a more physical unit. I don't know if it'll be something all year we're talking about because, again, teams adjust slash the officials back off. It just happens. They claim they have this huge emphasis in rules.
You're not worried about it for the first few weeks for Kansas City, though?
I'm worried about the defense in general the first few weeks because when your own defensive coordinator is admitting that it could be a little rocky, that's not the word he used, but mentioning that 4 or 5 games it could take them to get rolling, and that was with veterans in the past. Now he's saying it with rookies. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be adventurous at times in the secondary to begin with. This, I guess, can add to it. I mean, we all know that some teams differ than others. All 32 teams are dealing with this new rules emphasis. It's not just the Chiefs that are going to have to adjust to it.
The way they play,
they're not the only physical corner group. They are more physical than others, but they're not the only team in football that likes to get up and be physical and press you.
I guess the only way I could like this rule is if they actually call it on Travis Kelce.
Fine, right?
Because he might be the most illegal contacted player of all time. So if you actually want to give him to Kelce, then we can maybe have a conversation about this. Because that's the only way in which I see this actually helps the Chiefs. As a reminder, their first 5 weeks are, if Gold's right, and it's about 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks before they do it, Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Buccaneers, Raiders, and Bills. There happens to be a few decent wide receivers in that collection of teams over the course of it. Of course, I'm not sure, because the way the NFL is anymore, you almost can't play a team with a good wide receiver. Like, think about it.
Or without because, one? Yeah,
without
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Cardinals, they won't have DeAndre Hopkins, so at least that helps you. But the Chargers have a bunch of good ones. Michael Pittman for the Colts. Obviously, the Buccaneers have multiple good ones. Adams and Renfro for the Raiders, the Bills. And then it's the 49ers. The Titans and the Jaguars might be the only two where I'm genuinely fearful of their number one wideout.
We can ask Sky about it. It's tough to ask him a little bit just because he's not played in the league, so he doesn't know how it's typically been called to begin with. But if we get a chance to talk to one of the other veteran wide receivers or maybe Travis Kelce before camp wraps up, I'd like to ask him about the rules emphasis on illegal contact. But I don't think, you know, we can ask Sky, but honestly, he hasn't played even an NFL preseason game, so he doesn't know really how the league has called it yet to begin with, so he probably doesn't have the best answer for us.
No, probably not, but I'm sure that he started to see the talent at wide receiver, because it's the same thing. It's like if Sky Moore came at a different time, where would he have gone? Like, you know, right. 10 years ago? I mean, what are you, like the third wide receiver taken at his talent level?
All right, let's get to Nick's notable notes.
Gotta write something down.
Nick's notable notes.
All right, guys, the youth are at it once again.
The youth.
The youth of the world. Always up to something. This story comes to us courtesy of India, where officials in the city of Durgapur are rather concerned with a recent surge in the demand for condoms.
Oh, okay.
Now I know what you're thinking. Here Nick goes again, invoking some sort of sexual themed topic into his notes.
Yep.
Not the case.
Oh.
This, my friends, has nothing to do with contraceptive or birth control. This is all about catching a buzz. Because reportedly,
what?
Children, teenagers in India are using condoms to get high.
Oh my God. Do they not have regular drugs in India?
Can you explain to me how this would work, Nick?
So reportedly, what these kids are doing is they will take the condoms out of the wrapper and they will soak them in water, which releases some sort of chemical compound in the water. They then drink the water, which gets them high for around 10 to 12 hours. That's like three ayahuasca trips. And all you got to do is soak a condom in water. Now, you should not do this. For anybody thinking about doing this, Cody and Gold, 610 Sports Radio, does not condone the drinking of condom-soaked water.
That's good, I guess. Yeah, you can speak for all of us.
Yeah,
on that one,
that's a great statement to put out.
So,
thank you.
So the Durgapur Divisional Hospital says that condoms contain aromatic compounds. It breaks down to form alcohol, so that makes it addictive. And the aromatic compound is also found in dendrite glue. So it's basically like huffing glue.
Okay, so
aren't they better off just huffing the glue?
Gold, dude, you can't say that. That's reckless.
This feels like a lot of work for just
that's what I'm getting at.
Glue huffing could do.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah. As there's children around us staring at us suddenly.
By the way, why, like, this is just like anything probably in the course of history for any food or thing that comes around, like who's the first person to decide to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this cow's milk. I'm going to churn it long enough to turn it into cheese. And then I'm going to eat it. Like, why did you even think to do this? But who was the, you know, who was the kid who decided to try this one first to see if it would work?
Yeah, I mean, this is the same stuff here. This is why if you buy like the fuel injector stuff, but you know, the little $9 bottle of like STP fuel injector or whatever for your car, for high mileage cars or whatever.
Yeah.
Now you got to use your damn driver's license to buy it because I'm assuming there was 16-year-old kids using that to get high.
Wait,
as well.
Do you put that in your car?
Every once in a while. My car's got over 180,000 miles on it now, so occasionally, yes, I will use that in the gas. You put it in the gas tank after an oil change.
So you get carded now when you go to buy it?
If you go, they will on the self-checkout. It'll make you enter the driver's license on the self-checkout. Not if I were to buy it and go through the whole register.
It's probably on some list, like people buy too much Sudafed.
But if I go through self-checkout, yeah. I only buy it like twice a year.
But isn't most of this stuff like derived out of boredom or just lack of access to other
vices? Do you think that fake IDs
vices?
Are harder to get now than when we were kids? I had a fake ID at like 15. Do you think it's hard?
15.
Wait, 15?
I had one in college, Cody. 15. I had one.
Is that too early?
Wait,
is that
why did you need one? Like, why did you need one at 15?
So I could go to the bar?
Oh, jeez.
Wait, the bar?
Goodness gracious.
Or the liquor store?
Wait, you were
both
chilling.
Both is the answer to that question. But
you were sitting up to the counter at 15 asking for a Coors Light?
There's no way.
I need video of this.
There is no way you went to the bar at age 15.
I 100% did.
Did you get served?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? 15?
Dude, it was the early 2000s. No one cared.
That's not true.
Man.
That's simply not true. There is no way that nobody cared that a kid, what, were you in ninth grade?
Yeah, ninth, tenth grade.
Jeez. What bar?
It was only a handful of times.
Is it still open?
There were several. It's not, this isn't a one-time occurrence.
Someone said there's no way Cody looked older than 12 when he was 15. Cody McLovin.
Who were you going to the bar with?
There was one friend who was a couple years older than me and who also had a fake ID.
So he was, what, 18?
And then there were a couple of people, like, he knew from, like, I think maybe his older brother. They were 21. So, like, I was 15, and we're going with two people who were, like, 21. I wasn't the worst kid, but I got into a little bit of shenanigans.
I didn't have a fake ID till I think sophomore year of college.
Yeah,
I was a resident of Texas. Yeah, Denton, Texas.
Denton.
I think I was
outside of Dallas. I believe.
I think I was Nebraska.
Okay,
Cody. You know why? Did your fake ID like have an actual picture of your face on it?
No, it didn't. It was a picture of someone who looked like me.
That's not a real fake ID. That's just somebody giving you their ID.
Fine, but I mean, it had to be secured one way. I'm just asking because, like, my brother had a really good fake ID when he was in college.
Well, you obviously have to get the kind that can. This happened even when we were in college. You have to get the kind that can scan as well, because otherwise, that's not going to work. You got to make sure it can also be scannable.
Yeah, but do you think it's harder to get one?
Probably,
now,
probably.
Or easier?
Well, because there's more and more features on the driver's license now than there were 10 years ago or 15. Like the. What do they call it? Not holographic, but you know what I'm talking about. There's different.
There's some watermarks or whatever.
Yeah, some of them are like embossed a little bit. There's a bunch of different features on
there. The only time it almost got taken away was at a liquor store, Nick. Nobody ever questioned it at the bar. The only time it almost gotten taken away was when I went to a gas station to pick up some alcohol.
Okay, Cody, if you were walking into a liquor store tonight and there's some 15-year-old kid saying, hey, psst, psst, will you buy me like a 6-pack of White Claws?
No way I'm getting that.
Cody and Gold do not endorse underage drinking.
That's accurate. I just did it. I don't endorse it.
We do not endorse underage drinking on this show.
I wouldn't do it.
Can't speak about other shows, but on this show, we do not.
Can't speak for other shows. Like, we'd like you all to go on the record. Every
now,
other show.
That's just speaking. I said Cody and Gold. I can't speak for Nick. Cody and Gold do not endorse.
I back what I am. I 100% support whatever message you guys are putting out there.
Great.
Okay. It's a unit.
Someone says they drank at bars in Topeka at that same age as Cody. Huh.
I was at home studying English.
I'm sure
I was
you were.
Studying
English. Yeah,
hyphenated
English.
Words.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's not that nobody ever said you look super young or are you really the age you're claiming to be, but.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more for like the people you would meet at the bar versus the people actually letting you in. The people letting you in didn't seem to care. Just let you ride.
You're so old.
Why? Because I.
Yeah, life was different back in the late 70s.
Okay.
Way, dude, you can get away with a lot more stuff then.
6 years age and difference.
Coming up next, we'll continue broadcasting live from St. Joe at Mo West. Practice still going on, so it'll be a little bit later than when we were thinking for Sky Moore. Most likely closer to 11:15, I would guess, at this point in time. But Sky Moore is going to join us when practice does wrap up. We'll continue to join you here from St. Joe and get into a little bit about Trent McDuffie, who was our guest about a week or so ago, and what we've seen from him and where we're at on confidence of being the number two corner for the Chiefs.
Cody and Gold, live from training camp, presented by Ingredion, located in North Kansas City. Learn more about a career at Ingredion.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.